Well, let's introduce everybody. I'm Felix Dreyer is one of the four that are here, and Felix has been really active in the Youth Media Center, and it's great to see you in this context. I would like to begin just so as people listen, they know who's in the room besides me. So if you could introduce yourself and then let us know the community you live in. We know you're all 11th graders, all 17, one of you is 16, I think. But and then if you have any shout outs, this is the perfect time to do it. If you don't, that's okay too. And I'll start with Felix and we can just go around the room.
Hello, my name is Felix. I've been around SLB a lot. I really enjoy this program. Basically, this has been like a great experience to do LEAP and things like that, where we've been able to like meet up and come every day. And I've been able to, these people, they go to my school, but going to LEAP, we get to see each other in like more casual wear and more of a artistic perspective. And it's really been a great experience. I'm 17 years old at this time, and well, just turned 17 years old, and I live in Perry North, which is up in the north side.
Yeah, that's a good way. The north side, and we've talked about this before. You know, the north side has 18 distinct neighborhoods. And so generally, it's not, I live on the north side. It's certainly not to most here, I live on the North Shore. It's which neighborhood do you live in? Is it Manchester? Is it Troy Hill, et cetera? Let's meet the person on your left.
Hello. My name is Jelani, but most people know me as JJ. I'm from Beltsuver. I think it's a nice neighborhood. And I've been going to LEAP as much as everybody else here. I think it's nice to explore creative aspects of, I guess, the world and how different parts of the world are affected by stuff like erasure, which my projects get focused on. And that's about it for me.
Nice to meet you. And if you don't know, Beltsuver is sort of behind Mount Washington. If you go up to the Hilltop neighborhoods, everybody always thinks of Mount Washington, and then you go beyond it, and you fall off. You know, there be dragons. You fall off the map, but there are some great neighborhoods there to consider as well.
Yeah, so I'm Genevieve, and I'm a Carrick resident, which is one of the more southern neighborhoods of Pittsburgh, and I am our resident 16-year-old. And I have to agree with everything that they've both said so far. LEAP has been an amazing program, and it's definitely brought us all closer. We've all been friends before the program, but we're definitely able to share more with each other thanks to it.
Excellent. And then finally, we're going to meet Allison.
My name's Allison. Most people call me Allie. I'm from the South Park area in Pittsburgh. I've really enjoyed LEAP, especially with getting to know people from my school better and having a lot of experiences that I wouldn't have been able to do otherwise, like this radio show thing and a lot of other stuff that we've done through LEAP.
Well, I'm glad you're all here and now that you know we have Allie and Genevieve, JJ, and Felix. We're going to talk. I'm going to ask you all to talk a little bit about what you've done as part of LEAP. JJ mentioned erasure as a project. Did you each have a specific project, or did some of you partner to work on a project? I'll let you just take it.
We had this group activity where we met with this, I'm blanking on her name, but we met with this person who's working on this National Opera House, which is this house that she's building up, and she's basically kind of exploring the history of the house that's kind of fallen by the wayside. And we did a lot of like research, and we learned a lot about like how erasure can like kind of get rid of or kind of fade out an idea or like a history of something. and how we should fight against that so that we can keep its history.
Yes, but to answer your question, we do all have individual projects. They're all going to be presented tonight during our showcase.
What did you get involved with as part of your specific project?
So I'm a space nerd. So I wanted to do something involving space, and particularly space politics is something that I've recently found interesting. So I looked into the countries that have gone into space and the countries that have reached the moon, and I wanted to create an art piece that would represent the countries that have and the countries that have not gone into space yet.
Interesting. Roughly, when I think about countries that have gone to the moon, I think about Russia and the U.S., but there are others?
Yeah, there are actually 58 countries that have been to the moon. Only three countries have actually created their own spacecraft, the U.S., Russia, and China, but even more countries have actually been into space themselves.
And would that be training and providing astronauts and using equipment
Yes.
developed by other countries? What a neat idea to, so what does your art look like?
So it's a sculpture of the moon, and I have a bunch of flags sticking out of it, similar to the iconic American flag on the moon, representing the countries that haven't been to space.
And space politics is, I haven't heard that expression or thought about it, but it really makes me think of a lot, like who owns the moon, what will one be allowed to do to the moon, if anything, and it really is a frontier that I don't know if there are any existing rules or not.
Yeah, that's precisely why we need people like space lawyers. It's the idea of anyone can be in space. Anyone, we need everyone. It's not just scientists and astronauts. We need artists and engineers and lawyers and people who can create a society on the moon or Mars.
Do you all have any questions or comments about Genevieve's project?
Oh, I did want to ask, what like materials did you use to create the moon, cause, so like people can get a picture of it?
Yes, so it is a circular canvas with, I use something called paper clay to build up the shape of it. So it's round like a half moon, and it just sticks off the wall with little toothpick flags.
That's a great question. Any other questions? I have one, I guess, is I know what drove your interest in space. You mentioned you're a space nerd, but you weren't born one. How did you get interested in this topic?
Well, I actually kind of was born one. Some of my earliest memories are being a little kid, like 3 years old, and sitting in cardboard boxes, sliding across our hallway, pretending I was an astronaut going into space.
Wow, that's amazing. Some of my earliest memories as a child were pretending to do what we're doing right now. So it is kind of neat. Who else wants to talk about their project? JJ, do you want to share what you did?
I could. All right, so for mine, I did a clay house of the Opera House, or the National Opera House. So I molded into the clay, and then I took a picture of it. And then I went into Photoshop because I'm really big into Photoshop and doing all that editing. It's really fun to me because I like digital media in general. So in the Photoshop, I added the clay in the front of it. In the background is the neighborhood. I don't remember a neighborhood name right now. With the Opera House, it has an outer glow to it. I think some noise around it too. I believe the background is desaturated a little bit of color and blurred out, so the house is actually, you know, the forefront, the most important looking part of it. And then at the top, I believe it says, erasure needs to stop now. And then on the bottom text, it says, stop erasure now or something like that, I believe. I have to look back at it, but it's going to be showcased at the Frame. So lots of people will ask me questions, so I can't wait to answer them.
Yeah, and the National Negro Opera House is a historic. It's a really important building. I'm trying to remember the name of the person that Felix referred to before, and it's also on the tip of my tongue. Is it Janet Solomon Nolan?
Yeah, Janae yes. Solomon.
Janae, yes, and Miriam White. And they've been working to try to bring this building back to life. It has significant history. Let's talk a little bit about erasure, sort of a play on words with race and erasing or the erasure of something. Some people might not feel that the way that other people do. Can you sort of break that down a little bit, JJ?
Like explain race, sure.
Well, I mean, it's the notion, I think that this important cultural center of national significance is being eclipsed, right? There might be money going in to restore other items, but for whatever reason, this particular history is being disappeared, so to speak. Is that a good way? And any of you can jump in. A good way of describing some of the root causes of why this has happened.
It was being forgotten. I actually forgot to include this part. But another thing is that there is an eraser that happened in the project in the Photoshop. I believe it says neglect because the house was basically being forgotten for years and years on end. So it's deteriorating and getting more abandoned. So I feel like one root cause for erasure is people just forgetting about stuff and eventually it gets forgotten. And then new people will just never find out about it. Or, yeah.
Anybody else have any comments? That's a really important project.
I think I especially have experienced erasure, especially with the National Opera House, because when Janae came in and she was explaining it to us, she was talking about Woogie Harris and things like that, and I had no idea about him, and I had no idea about this entire history of this house and different people who've lived in it, different things. Its whole history is jam-packed with very important people and very important things, yet nobody really knows about it. And I kind of felt embarrassed because I'm I really like to dig into Pittsburgh history and look around. And I know a lot of little fun facts, but some things just aren't in any textbooks. I can't look at them.
Yeah, you're more likely to know about the Serial Mosque and the as a music venue or even Forbes Field. But this cultural house of great importance is not, is overlooked, mm-hmm. Is the best way to put it. What a great project. Do you know where their restoration stands now? I know they have a long way to go to try to save the building, and I don't know if you've had a chance to learn more about those efforts or not.
I do know that she has raised, I think, $3 million, now $25 million in total for the project. So I know that part. I guess construction and legal troubles could get in the way of this whole construction, just progress of it overall.
Well, that's great because there was a time when it looked like the project wasn't going to come along at all. Anything else you want to mention about that, JJ?
I believe that's all for my project of stopping erasure.
And let's learn about the next one. Allie, do you want to talk about yours?
My project is on food deserts and food insecurity. For me, I made a stained glass window piece. For mine, it's broken in half, trying to show like the inequality with the problem. And one side of the cabinet is filled with an abundance of food, and the other side shows the lack of it.
We were talking a bit about food insecurity and food deserts right at this very time last week. And I think it's all a matter of experience. There are some people, and I'll use myself as an example. Ricky and I live from where we live. There are two major grocery stores, one Giant Eagle, one Coons, probably actually even two Giant Eagles, that are within two, three miles of where we live. And there was a time in my life where I would probably say, well, doesn't everybody have this kind of access to fresh food and vegetables and choices you can actually make as to which store you want to go to? And even though I'd like to think I understood the world pretty well, I can remember suddenly learning that's not true. In fact, we're very fortunate in our case. Tell me what you learned about the situation as you studied it. Were you surprised to discover what you did? Have you experienced it yourself?
I have not experienced it myself, but looking into the problem, I didn't realize how prevalent it was in Pittsburgh. It says that Pittsburgh 1 in 5 residents experience food insecurity. I was looking into that for a bit. I know we had a project on this in middle school, which is when I first heard about it, and I didn't really know about this before then, and I just looked into it more when we came into LEAP. And even across the U.S., it said that like 17.1 million people in the U.S. live within like not having a grocery store within like a mile or 20 miles of their houses.
Just incredible. And it affects a lot of things. Mm-hmm. It affects whether you can get fresh food or not, because if it's difficult to go to the store, you end up buying stuff that has long shelf lives and is processed. Plus, it gets really expensive if you have to either drive or take a bus to go to the store. There's just so many limitations that you don't think about. So your stained glass does a good job of representing the problem. Did you do work on proposing solutions or ideas to maybe help people, help really us turn the corner and have fewer food deserts?
I know helping funding food banks can be helpful. And in my we did like small writings for each of our projects that are like plaques on the wall. And I know I wrote about like access to the Pittsburgh Food Bank in those. I talked about that. And especially with also one of the problems can be, even if there is a like supermarket near your home, even public transportation can be a problem trying to get to it. And if you have like kids at home, you can't take them with you and then carry all the groceries home. So even that can be a problem with it. And like funding public transportation can also be helpful in lowering the problem that food deserts cause.
Felix, have you had experience in this area?
my project is on the impact of public transit on society. Ali, do you mind if I steal from you?
Yeah.
to describe my project, it's a pretty big thing. So I've made this big board where you get to like roam around this little like small little like maze or little map with a bus, and you get to like ride over and find little statistics and facts about the importance of public transit, like how many people it impacts, how it impacts your health with like getting out and like moving places, and how like it impacts the environment and things like that. And near the end of the little like it's very interactive. You get to like touch and move the buses, because I find that's the best way to pick up information is through play. I really, and then in the end, they have a little bit of a sheet that shows you where you can contact your like local legislators and things like that to help fund public transit, especially post-COVID when public transit got a lot of like subsidiaries and like money from the government in COVID because no one was using the public transit. That all kind of went by the wayside last year. And now a lot of local public transit systems and metro public transit systems have had to close or kind of reschedule routes to where they're like very inconvenient. I've had to wait like 30 minutes for my bus and it's packed like a can of sardines. It's not fun when it's like that. And I don't think it should be like that. We should have better, fair access.
Yeah, and you're hardly in a rural or underpopulated area. And you would think there could even be predictable use of mass transit in your area, right? Living in Perry North, there's, you know, no shortage of people to ride the bus, but apparently a shortage either of empathy or of buses to serve people that need to be served. Transit really is a huge issue, and the game sounds neat, so people can maybe develop a sense of empathy or understand what it takes to get from point A to point B.
Point A to point B, or it's really a way to, some people take public transit for granted. They don't, they like see it as a way to get to, from A to B, and they like are like, of course they're annoyed that a bus is like late or things like that. But with my public transit facts, I really wanted people to be able to like see like, oh my goodness, public transit isn't just a way to get to A to B. It's a way that impacts businesses, livelihoods, and communities at like at a large. Like, I think I can't remember the exact statistic, but public transit like brings like for every $1 invested in public transit, it brings $5 in like economic returns to like local businesses and things like that. And I'm one of the lucky ones. I have the 8 that goes through the north side and goes like straight by Ross Garage, so they kind of like have to run my route. But for some neighborhoods like in the south side or like further out, and maybe JJ's neighborhood is pretty far out, the bus system could take a very long time. And it also, they might even cut a route because they're, there's like too much of a hassle to get to places. So I think a real thing is that if we don't talk about public transit now, and we don't talk about how much it's impacting our lives, we all take the bus, not the bus, the bus to get to school. And if we lose that, then our school loses students and downtown loses business and neighborhoods lose connections. And without having public transit, you don't really have that sense of a city. You kind of have separate little islands.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, you don't mind, I just wanted to say, I remember during the NFL draft, they like we took off school for that week because of how many people were in the city and how it impacted public transportation. We couldn't all reliably get to school and back.
Yeah, so they redirected many, many buses for the draft.
Yeah, so I feel like that shows how important the public transportation is to us as students and everyone else in Pittsburgh particularly.
I also, whenever you ride a bus, it's kind of like you kind of meet your neighborhood in a way. When you're going on the bus and you're like going through, there's usually your regulars. You like you kind of find the faces of people, you know. When you're just riding solo in a car, you don't really see that many people around. You don't really like have an experience of like, oh, people actually live in my neighborhood. You kind of become more isolated. So when you're on a bus, I feel like you're part of the community.
JJ, did you want to add anything?
Yeah, I'll add on to what Felix said. I'd say about Seaver to 44, it's kind of scarce. Because, like, you can miss the bus, and then you have to wait 40 minutes for it, which is kind of insane. And then when you're, like, downtown, you still have to wait, like, 40 minutes each bus. And I'll be waiting at the bus stop with my cousin, and there'll be, like, a lot of 51s. Like, I feel like 6 of them could pass, or even more. And then the 44 is still not here. But I guess I'm a little bit lucky because the T station's not really far from my house, so I could just walk to the T station and then get on the T. And the Gateway station is extremely close to school. Like, I feel like it's less than a minute walk for me. But that's what I was going to add.
Yeah, and Felix, those are great points. The point about mass transit, to me, it's a great equalizer. In many cities, you're likely, to find a celebrity, a government official, a student. Everybody can coalesce around a strong transit system, and you end up, as Felix was stating, I think you just meet a wide swath of people. And again, that's, I think, pretty important if you're going to develop a sense of other humans and what they're doing. It gives you a chance to talk and to interact. So we just have a couple minutes left. You've put in so much into tonight's event. It starts at 5:30. It runs until 7:30. It's at Carnegie Mellon at the Frame Gallery, which is right on Forbes. Is there anything folks should know? You've talked about your exhibits a little bit. Will you all be there tonight, I hope?
Yes, we're all going to be there representing our exhibits and our projects.
Oh, and I do want to say, when you're at the Frame Gallery, don't be afraid. Some projects don't, but definitely on some projects, you should definitely touch them. They're like very interactive. They're very like, go up and like write something or go up and like play with it. Don't be afraid. We're all there, and that's how the project's meant to be handled.
Yeah, one of our friends even has food as part of their project. So,
edible food that you can actually interact with that way. That's terrific. Well, I do hope you'll consider coming out to support Felix, Ali, JJ, Genevieve, and the other students who aren't here now that are part of the LEAP program. Sarah, the program director, is here. She's done an amazing job. I don't know if any of you have any words for her that you'd like to pass along.
Please don't leave us next year. Please stay. Please stay. This has been amazing.
Absolutely. Thank you. This program is great.
This has been a really big part of me, like, being able to express my artistic, like, passion and things like that. It's really opened my eyes, so I want to thank you.
I really like this LEAP, too, because I think with it, I'm more sociable, because I got to talk to more people I didn't talk to before. Like, I never really talked to Ali, so I got to talk to Ali. Or Nidira. Didn't really talk to Nidira, so I got to talk to her, so I got to be more sociable and a little bit more creative, which was nice.
That, absolutely. One of the things I love about LEAP the most is that, like, we get a whole bunch of new experiences we wouldn't have had otherwise, so I just really love the program.
Well, thanks to each of you for being here, and I hope we'll see you again. I know we'll see Felix again, but I hope you'll all come and visit us at the Youth Media Center. And good luck tonight. I hope it goes well. You can learn more at cmu.edu/LEAP, LEAP. And tonight's showcase, 5:30 to 7:30, Frame Gallery on Forbes in Oakland, right near Carnegie Mellon's campus.